Let's spend a few minutes as the Lord's word speaks to us. You need an outline for today's message. Please feel free to go and grab one in the back table and fill in the blanks. Take some notes. Please feel free to do that. So we try to understand this mysterious account of the transfiguration of Jesus. We try to understand a lot of things, don't we? I understand there's a big game today. Is that right? Yeah. I also understand that we on the West Coast, aren't so interested in those West Coast teams because, well, we don't have a horse in the race. Maybe. I also understand there's an on-field romance. Is that right? Some pop star, some football player, right? Some people are going to be watching this big game today just to get a glimpse of that person. But others are going to be watching the game just to see the commercials, I understand, right? Wherever we are in all of this, wherever we are in the transfiguration account of the Lord, we try to understand. What is this? How is this? That Jesus' clothes could be bleached whiter than any in the world could do that. That Moses and Elijah would be there. That Peter would respond the way that he did. Would I respond that way? Boy, I hope not. We try to understand and make sense of these mysteries that are given to us for the purpose of being brought into the manifestation of the glory of God for our salvation. But it's not just these eternal mysteries that we try to understand. We try to understand one another as well, like when a spouse is giving directions to the other spouse, and we just don't quite get the language that they're using, the insights, the descriptions, right? And we look at each other puzzled. We try to understand. We try to understand when we're in conversations with one another, but emotions are involved, and anger creeps in, and then pretty soon we just shut down listening, and so then there is no understanding. Sometimes we try to gain understanding, too, in a quiet moment of life, maybe in our daily devotions, reflecting on a situation or an event, how I could have responded better, how I could have treated that person better, how I might have been more faithful as a child of God in that situation, trying to grasp and understand all of these different kinds of mysteries of life. Maybe we can figure out and find some truth in what the Lord gives to us in his transfiguration. Verse 2, we hear that after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John with him, and he led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. And there he was transfigured before them. Transfiguration account, as I mentioned, is the bookend of this season of Epiphany, where the glory and the manifestation of the Lord first appeared to those shepherds on a Bethlehem hillside, singing the praises of the one who was born in Bethlehem, manifested in that star that led the Magi to the birth of their king, and all the events that Jesus performed as Savior and Messiah, including his coronation at his baptism. All of this has led up now to this moment, and the glory of the Lord made known. Indeed, from that day of Epiphany and that day celebrated with the Magi, into the season of Epiphany and all that we've heard as Jesus has interacted with us. From the birth of Jesus the Messiah to the revealing of the Messiah's reign at his baptism. This is my son, whom I love. Obey him, follow him, walk in his ways. To his kingdom reign upon us now, in our lives, here, to make a difference. And not just in making a difference in these days, but to mark our lives in the difference of eternity, to have a hope and a life with our Heavenly Father forever. Jesus comes to make a difference as we've been moving through this Epiphany season for me and in me, and by changing hearts and influencing lives, which includes me, us, as God's people, by establishing truth and exercising his authority as the Messiah to save and connect people, me, to my Father. This is the difference that we've been celebrating, and Jesus has manifested and made known in this season of Epiphany, and now on that Mount of Transfiguration, manifesting his glory as the Son of God here in the midst of our humanity. And we struggle to understand how this is and why this is. The disciples the apostles, particularly when giving us this account of the transfiguration, try to give us some words by the Spirit to help us understand this word transfigured. It's like a golden reflection of the sun on something that's reflecting, maybe like off of a piece of brass or gold or something, maybe like a windshield, right? And it's so bright you can't even look at it. It just blinds you. Or the idea of the cloud that they relate that came over them. And the cloud, of course, for all of us as biblical people, understand that the cloud was the manifestation of the presence of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, particularly among his people, the Israelites, when he was leading them in their wilderness wanderings, when he made his presence known in the tabernacle and the temple, the cloud was the presence of the Lord. Moses and Elijah speaking there, cheering Jesus on. One, the lawgiver, Moses, and the other representing the word of the Lord, the prophetic word of the Lord, here and now for God's people. Both of them cheering Jesus on in his messianic way. And the voice of the Father mirroring, imaging what he was told when Jesus first began his messianic reign in his baptism, now affirming, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Yeah, he's on the right path. He's doing what my son is supposed to do. And here's assurance of that. And so Jesus is manifested in his glory. Well, Peter says to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Yeah, let's put up three shelters, though. One for you, Moses, one for Elijah." Peter didn't know what he was saying. He was so frightened, we're told. In fact, that word describes what's going on in Peter's existence at that moment. He was scared out of his wits. And not thinking clearly. He was gripped with such fear that he wanted to respond but didn't quite know how. And so this is what came out. You know that, right, in your life. I know it too. That in a moment, in a situation, maybe it's fear, maybe it's something else, disgust or anger, where something just kind of comes out, is blurted, and you wish you could put it back in, take it back, but it's already out. Maybe the damage is done. We get some lessons from Peter as we stand on this Mount of Transfigurations about who we are as people and then how the Spirit might use that for his good. Some of those insights that we get for us as people is that maybe it's good for us to first look where the Lord is working. Instead of us trying to do our own thing and say, "Hey, Lord, come on over here where I am," maybe we ought to pause and say, "This is, pray, discern, this is where the Lord is working, and maybe he wants me over there where he's already doing a thing. Maybe it's important for me to seek and ask what his will is instead of just blurting out, stepping out, acting out. And maybe there's a lesson here for me to take into my heart to long for what the Lord wants, not what I'm interested or think is best, but Lord, what do you want from me, in me, through me, in this situation?" Well, that's what Peter, James, John, they were dealing with there on that Mount of Transfiguration. Very similar to what we find ourselves dealing with too in life every day. And here we are in our struggles with sin and our disappointments with one another to the Lord God. When for Peter, James, and John, a cloud appeared and covered them. Ah, the manifestation of the presence of God Almighty. And a voice came from that cloud and spoke, saying, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. He is on the path, the right path, the perfect path that I've set out for him, for you, for humanity. My glory manifested in your humanity." That Jesus is on the way to the cross where the law of Moses and all your failings under it will be nailed and crucified with him in his death, forgiven and set free as people knowing the Lord and his great love. And in an empty tomb, there the word of the Lord and the promises are all coming to completion for a new life that I wish to give to you. The word of Elijah fulfilled in all the hope that it means for us to know a relationship with our Heavenly Father, even with one another, in a new life in Jesus Christ. Suddenly, when they looked around, there was no longer anyone except Jesus. Doesn't it ultimately come down to that for us, my friends? When everything else fades away, when our sinfulness is finally removed from us, when Jesus makes all things new, when new lives are finally fulfilled in that glorified state that we've been promised by Christ Himself, it's only going to be Jesus, nothing else. And when Jesus stands before us and welcomes us into the Father's presence because of who He is for us, the Son of God, the Messiah, the glory of the Lord manifested in our humanity, what a day that will be to be welcomed unto life everlasting. He is, Jesus is, the revealed glory of the Father's salvation. Understand? Is it a question or is it a statement? I understand. Faith accepts, receives, believes. Yes, this is Jesus manifested in me now. In my life, lived in Him as He leads me and guides me. Because ultimately we've got to come down from this mountain, right? The disciples did with Jesus as they were coming down from the mountain, the glory of the Lord, back into daily life, the grind. All of the things that we face every day, now with Jesus. And with a new perspective and an opportunity to live that out to the glory of the Lord. So, here's where the Lord's impact, His glory manifested in my humanity, now makes a difference for us. Sometimes we need to see, as we move through the days, that what the glory of the Lord and His manifestation means in me is that we need to look around and seek to understand where the Lord is at work and then engage where He is manifested. It's maybe talking about the play to your strengths kind of aspect. Yeah, we've got weaknesses. Yeah, we've got faults. Yeah, there's things that aren't going right. Okay, let's forget about them. Let's see where the Lord is working and engage there. And let Him take the lead in this and work to the strengths that He's working among us, whether that's us as individuals or in our relationships with one another, as the church, as Bethany. What are the strengths that God has given to us that we are asked and called to go where He's already working? Because He sees something that's an end result. He already knows what the blessings are going to be for His name and for our purposes. So we engage as where He is already working. And as they were going down the mountain, Jesus told, verse 9. Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So here's the Lord already engaged in this work. And as they're going down the mountain, Jesus gives them this odd order. Wouldn't you want the world to know, Jesus, that you, what we've seen on the Mount of Transfiguration, your glory manifested for our humanity? Wouldn't you want us to tell that? Well, you know, maybe not. Sometimes it's also expressed in us through the simple exercise of gaining insight before reacting out of hurt feelings or unbridled emotions. Why would Jesus not want me to do this? Well, there's another perspective here. If the disciples would have reacted to what they saw, if Jesus hadn't given them this order and they just went off and did their own thing, Jesus wouldn't have been able then to move around freely. Like He was telling His disciples, we need to go to some other villages so that I can preach the gospel there. And people to bring their sick and their demon-possessed so that they might know the manifestation of the glory of God in their humanity. Jesus would have been hindered by all of that. And so Jesus gives them orders. Not yet. Not until my work is complete and finished. Then, you bet, spread the good news. And so for us also, to gain insight and understanding before we react in our humanity for the purposes of the Lord at work in your heart and in mine. So they kept the matter to themselves discussing what rising from the dead meant. As Jesus makes himself known in your heart, in your life, in mine, in ours together, sometimes we need to understand that understanding is gained in the reflection of a situation when we ask questions. Instead of jumping to a conclusion, right? Instead of responding out of, like Peter, blah. Maybe ask some questions. But ask questions about each other, as well as the Lord and his working. Do you see the Lord working in this way? Is his hand upon this situation? How has he been responding in your life? Is there something that I can help you with in your disciple walk with Jesus? Those kinds of questions and more. To be about the manifestation of the glory of the Lord in our humanity, in our lives. So they asked him, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? And they asked these questions among themselves. As iron sharpens iron, so the word of the Lord sharpens us the word of the Lord sharpens us with one another in those truths. To be the people of God he's called us to be, manifesting the glory of the Lord in our humanity. Understand? Maybe we're getting there. It's a journey, isn't it? And it unravels for us as Jesus leads us as his people. Redeemed, set free, to know the truth, to know his glory is among us, in our humanity, as our Savior, as our Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, for this day of transfiguration, to celebrate your glory in your Son Jesus, here among us, in our humanity, in our situation, and for our salvation, we give you thanks. To give us and help us gain understanding as to who we are and how we might respond as your people in the good news of Jesus. Thank you. Lead us individually in our relationships and as your church to be those ambassadors of yours so that your glory might be made known fully among us. And we'll give you thanks and praise for the power of the cross of Jesus Christ and for the celebration of the empty tomb. We, your worshipers, arise before you to celebrate and give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, friends, may the peace of God now that passes our understanding keep our hearts, our minds, our faith, who we are in our relationships with one another in Christ Jesus, so that as the glory of the Lord manifests itself even among us, he who is our Savior and Lord would be glorified and praised. Amen.